on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin, live from Hallis. I mean, we got starters, Courtney.
Yep.
That is a step in the right direction. Although the offensive line is a very scary situation with the update we got from Nate Davis. We got to talk about both of those on today's episode. How are you back from First Take looking like a superstar up there?
It's been a long week. I'm going back tomorrow, so I'll be on Friday's show and then going straight to Buffalo, where we will see Caleb Williams play. I don't know how much. I think there's preseason games on Thursday night, so we will be talking of preseason football tomorrow and then what to expect from the Bears on Saturday. So football centric, you know, it's the best time to be on First Take. The shows go like that. They're real fast and there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, what we got from Matt Eberflus today was the foregone conclusion for a while that they were going to play Caleb Williams in spite of some missing pieces up front, and the big one being Nate Davis. And what we know now is a setback from Matt Eberflus saying that Nate Davis did indeed have a setback during Sunday's practice when we saw him go to the training room, take off his pads, go through some work with the trainer, and then just, you know, wasn't out in any team drills. So that's, I know we'll get into that. That's a huge part of it. But one injury along the offensive line is not going to stop them from playing Caleb Williams. The health was a big factor in all of that. But to get Caleb out there, just to be able to go through the operation, like simple things or things that seem so simple in theory, he's got to start getting the reps with it against somebody else and at game speed. So I don't know what this range is. I think Buffalo is playing their starters for a quarter. That's what Sean McDermott, when he talked about Josh Allen and some of the starters playing, they're in a brand new, you know, new-ish since halfway point of the season last year, the offense with Joe Brady, and they've installed a lot of new things. So that's their first chance to get going. But now we'll get a chance to see if the Bears play their starters the same amount, if they pull them early, if they let them go long. I know Flus was talking about a 65-play drive that apparently may or may not happen in the first quarter. So we'll see.
A lot of chip passes and short runs.
It'll be the longest preseason game of all time, longer than the Hall of Fame game.
Here's the question, though, right? Because we got to see practice again today, and there's kind of been, I don't know if I want to say the word duck, right? But it's been an evasion of, to me, what this offense to us looks like when we ask Flus and when we ask Shane Waldron about it. Where's your estimation right now of kind of where this offense is, and are they ready to go into this preseason game, which you're going to use to get ready, but like, when I see Dom Robb in the backfield, I get nervous.
Sure, and I think that's fair. I'm never going to be a believer that what you see out in practice is your eyes lying to you, that everything's fine, everything's great, Caleb's going to be awesome. Like, all of those things could be true, but you need to see it first in a practice setting in order to believe it. And it's not just a matter now. We're 3 weeks into this. It's not, oh, everything's just so vanilla, like they're not, you know, showing you
much. No, they're installing real things
now. This is real. Like, this is a big portion of what the offense is going to look like 32, 31 days from now.
Yeah.
The operation has to be cleaner. Of course, there's injuries. You have to account for those things up front on the offensive line, certainly on the defense too. But I don't think you can feel great about yourself as an offense if going against a defense with five missing starters yields the results that we saw the last, you know, what I saw, because I've been here one day this week. So what I saw today and what we heard about happened yesterday, and I know that you've had your, you know, eye on this and your pulse on it. It's, you just can't sugarcoat as like, everything will be fine. Like, and I'm not at all hitting a panic button, but like, reality's got to be somewhere in the middle versus everything is great. Caleb will be fine. This is just a natural progression for a rookie quarterback and this offense going through it. To the other side of that is like, the sky's falling. Everything's awful. Like, there's, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
It's just when you talk with players and coaches about it, I don't think they're quite ready to go there just yet, because there truly is still quite a bit of preseason, but you got to call it how you see it. Like, today was not a good day for the offense. This week has not been been good for the offense.
It's tough too, because right, like J-Mac, he shed a little light and he said something yesterday that to me, I hadn't thought about from an offensive standpoint, but basically that, you know, Shane Waldron's not scheming any of this stuff right now. So you almost need to go through these bumps and bruises so that he can figure out, okay, this is the offense, which, let's be real, this is probably the offensive line we're running out with four of the five pieces. Maybe you've got some questions on Nate Davis, who we'll talk about more on there, where he could fit back in as a starter. But for the most part, this is probably your offensive line. If that's the case, it's good for Caleb to be getting these things and for Shane Waldron to see these in practice, because he can now see the deficiencies and say, okay, this is how we need to scheme this. This is how we need to work on this. This is how we need to make this happen so that we can actually have successes out here. Mm-hmm. The one thing that does scare me, though, is that the guys that are going to be playing for the Bills on Saturday can hit Caleb.
Yeah.
The guys that are going to be playing for the Bills on Saturday have been in this defense similar to how the Bears have before. They know what they're doing. They're going to be attacking you in a very real way. And not to say I don't want to see Caleb out there, but I just wonder if this offensive line is prepared for that, because there hasn't been this, like, this is your five, this is what you're rolling with.
Yeah, not in the first day of pads, everything kind of fell apart when Nate Davis first got injured. I will push back on the idea of, like, nothing will ever be perfect. Like, no. They're never going to have their continuity of, like, okay, this is our, I've covered one team where the starting offensive line has remained the same throughout the majority of the season. That was the 2016 Oakland Raiders. Like, that is an anomaly. Actually, two. The Vikings were like that for a big portion of 2017. And usually your best offenses, your best teams don't have, like, the mixing, the upfront. Yeah. Like, that's health. That's natural. That's what it's going to be if you can have those perfect circumstances. They don't. And I think it's the smart decision to play your starters in spite of not 100%. Having the perfect circumstances up front, because there's going to be a chance, like you pointed out, you know, with Nate Davis. Like, we also don't know who the starting center is just yet. They keep saying that the starting center competition is going to continue. However, with Nate Davis now having the setback that could keep him out, you know, he's week to week, according to Matt Eberflus, yeah. Who knows how long he's going to actually have to stay out. Then you're going to end up going back with Ryan Bates over at right guard and Coleman Shelton center. So you better get used to one of them for the majority of that. Yeah. And it's like, to play him in those circumstances, I don't think you can fear what's going to happen in terms of, like, the other, you know, the other parties that you're going to see, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's the defense that Cincinnati's going to show them a week from right now when it's joint practice, the Bengals game. And even if they want to play him in that fourth game against the Chiefs, it's never going to be a great situation when the guys that you expect to go into the season with on the offensive line, somehow that plan gets derailed in training camp. But that's the nature of the NFL. So yeah. They better figure it out and better figure out a workaround for issues with shoddy pass protection right now.
And I think that's what, more so what I'm saying. I'm almost glad that Shane Waldron is seeing this, because this is, I mean, listen, you ran it back with four of the same mm-hmm. five guys just about outside of the center position. And then you kind of did the same thing at center, just with younger guys. The Coleman Shelton, Ryan Bates situation is Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair. You can't tell me it's not. Like, they're doing the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other right now, basically. Yeah. So when you run this back, like, Tevin Jenkins missing some time, not much. Tevin Jenkins was out there again today, but, like, missing some time due to injury. Nate Davis missing some time due to injury. It's
and Darnell Wright, like, look.
Darnell Wright out today a little bit,
he
yeah.
He got rolled up on yesterday. So yes. He comes back, gets rolled up on today. He's out there for a little bit of 11-on-11, but situational period in 2 minutes was Larry Bourne.
Larry Bourne was out
right
there,
tackle. Yeah. I don't think that's obviously what they want to roll with, but at least he's able to play some,
yeah.
Unlike Nate Davis. I mean, that's Tevin coming back from injury. You know, he only missed, like, a day.
He only missed a day, yeah.
And he talked about it earlier. He said, you know, there's, you know, wasn't a big issue. So that's a good sign to hear that.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully for his sake, there isn't anything else that ends up popping up that would keep him from playing.
Yeah, and I think the thing you also have to understand is it's weird now because everyone else is just getting here.
Sure.
But we're 3 weeks into camp, two games in. And it listen, it is weighing on the media room. I'll tell you that.
No, I mean,
we got a long way to go.
Yeah. And there's still 3 weeks left. It's wild.
So I think that you also have to expect some things to pop up. The fact that we're this far in, like you said, and Tevin Jenkins seems, for the most part, good to go, is a good sign. D-Walk talked yesterday with Carmen and Yurko about how he's been healthy. Like, the injuries that you've sustained, I do wonder how many of them would be, if it's a real game situation, I'm playing.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, Darnell Wright last point. Year, right? Him going out, I wonder if this is precautionary because of how the Bears are treating it, or Like you saw Jervon Dexter on the sideline. He went down for a second. He immediately popped himself back up and ran back in.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it is the Bears going, we're going to play this safe versus the player. We saw Darnell Wright last year play with, he had two arms. Lance always is like, don't say he didn't have an arm. He had an arm out there. But essentially, one of his arms was messed up for the second half of the season, and he didn't miss any time because of that.
And that's the same, that can go the same thing for the defense, too. Because remember, there's no Montez Sweat out there today. I mean, Andrew Billings came back, so that's a good sign for the interior of the defensive line, so it doesn't have to like all go on Zach Pickens. Oh, those are important reps for him to get in his place, but obviously they want their starting nose tackle out there. But the secondary, God, Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, we haven't seen Kyler Gordon in 2 weeks, and what we find out injury-wise there today is that that one, which was tightness, that's what Matt Eberflus called it. And it was something that happened with Kyler Gordon when he was training. That it's just, I don't know if he's not progressing from it as quickly as maybe they would have hoped. I mean, this goes from, I can't even remember if it was called day-to-day, classified as day-to-day or week-to-week initially. But right now we're 2 weeks into this and we haven't seen their starting nickel. There will always be a push and a pull where this stuff is good for your backups to get them some reps, to like, you know, some important reps out there. And just to clarify, we found out it was actually Kevin Byard who picked off that pass from Caleb Williams.
What happened?
So I don't know.
Pulling back the curtain, we had I don't even know if it was a rift. Hogue was right, apparently, but he was the only one that thought that Kevin Byard intercepted a pass that Caleb Williams threw.
Because we all thought it was Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Jones.
I saw 21. And I also saw orange sleeves, which I'm trying to think. Did Kevin Byard have orange sleeves on today? It was over on the far sideline. Yeah. And it was a play where Caleb's getting flushed out of the pocket and he forces the throw.
Yes, like absolutely forced. They shouldn't have thrown it.
And so... But yeah, like, I mean, we all think, okay,
we all saw 21.
You hear Jalen Jones and you think, okay, Elijah Hicks had just picked off Caleb Williams in the 2 minute drill. And then again, that happens. Like, great work for your second team defense. And of course, Kevin Byard's a starter. But like, nonetheless, to be down that many starters on defense and for this first team offense to struggle as much as they have, I do think that's a bigger cause for concern other than, oh, what is a really good defense? They are a really good defense. But it's just never a good sign when your starting offense is struggling as this much against guys who are backups on a normal game day.
Yeah, and see, that is, it's so weird. It's different for me, at least, because not to say it's not concerning that the offense is, but I understand that the offense is still putting things in. I'd like to see them start to figure some things out, though. But to me, it does speak to one of the things that we talked about coming into this season and being true. The depth of this defense at the DB position, even though in the Hall of Fame game, I got real nervous on it. But the depth of this defense at the DB position seems to be something that they can also lean on. You saw Elijah Hicks go out there and get made a great break on the ball, intercepted it. Caleb forced it a little bit, but I still had to get in position for it. The very next play on that, Caleb tried to get it down to Gerald Everett, and Hicks right there, almost one hand picks it, but knocks the ball down instead. You know, like, we're seeing these guys continuously make plays as well. I love the consistency that we're seeing on defense. I'd like to see more from the offense. I'm waiting to see more from the offense, but it does. It, as a Bears fan, right? Yeah, I weigh both as, yeah, that was bad. But the fact that these guys also know where to be is a positive for this team, especially to start the season.
Yeah. I just like, when do those excuses become not valid anymore? That's what I wonder. Like, do we have to see it through a couple preseason games? Do we have to, like, when does the panic, or when can concern become legitimate issues? And panic's probably not the right word. When can that become like valid? Like, okay, that's an issue.
I think it's valid now. I think the conversation is more, you know, where you're going to have to lean on, and at least on that side to start the season, it seems like you know that you can lean on those guys.
And it's whether a good thing you're to have missing, defense, they can lean on. They knew they would have to, but. Yeah. Growth-wise, within this offense and what we've seen now for the last couple days, really for the last week in practice, they're going to need to get their health a little bit further up before I think anybody can feel confident of, oh, okay, Montez Sweat's back. The rest of the three out of the five guys in the secondary are back. You're going to feel better about it if you're this coaching staff, if you can just like not worry about that aspect of, oh, this guy's dealing with something. And I know you're right. Like, being cautious with injuries is an important thing to do at this time of year when it doesn't matter. But what did we see last year? A lot of starters did not end up playing in the preseason. And then, of course, the hindsight retrospect game that they all wanted to play was, oh, well, we weren't ready for the season because we weren't playing in the preseason.
Yeah.
You're kind of following in that same situation right now. It wasn't nearly as bad as it was a year ago, but you got to learn from that. That's a learning experience that you have to take from and do things differently when you do get those guys back and making sure that they are ready to go for week one.
And I think my thing now is, when do you, I get it, you want to have everybody healthy. You want to have everybody as healthy as possible, but when do you put the pressure on guys? And we kind of saw Flus do that. But when do you put the pressure on guys and say, listen, you, if you're not out there, your spot's up for grabs.
He sure as hell did it with Nate Davis. I think the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
And we've gone through this. I remember sitting in this room here with you a year ago, and obviously the circumstances were different with Nate Davis, 100%. But it was similar to, there was no availability from him. That was a message that was sent from Matt Eberflus on Monday, I believe it was, when he talked about, I don't think it's necessarily true that someone can't lose their job because of injury. Yes. To hear that he had a setback, and to confirm what your eyes are seeing, because I watched all of that on Sunday. I watched him go through individual drills. He had pads on. He goes over to the weight room area, takes his pads off, talks to a trainer, looked like he was motioning towards something. You wonder, okay, is this, because he was in a ramp up period. Like, let's not get it twisted. They weren't going to just throw his ass back out there on Sunday and like have him go through a full practice. Like, he was in a ramp up period, because you're never going to go from a week off into playing in full pads. But it's concerning that something happened on Sunday that now has him going back to zero, just in terms of like the timetable to ramp himself back up. I don't know about you. When I'm watching him doing the thunder ropes and watching him like trying to go through some of this rehab work, I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't look like there was a ton of effort there. And that's, if I'm the Bears watching that stuff happening, and you hear the message that Matt Eberflus is sending through us, through the media, to the player, he might be on borrowed time, Pat. I know a lot of people have brought up the question of, you know, do you, what can you do with his contract? Obviously, they guaranteed him $19.5 million of the $30 million. Like, they really haven't gotten the return on investment. If someone is a net negative for you, and sometimes, you know, obviously, like, nobody wants to be injured. Yeah. Nobody wants to not play. But if somebody's a net negative for you and there's no real way to like work around it, other than just like, okay, moving on, like, we, somebody else is playing here and they're playing better than you, then you got to make a hard decision. Because sometimes front office decisions and coaching decisions do not align.
Yeah.
And if that's the route they have to go, I wouldn't be surprised.
And I think what sucks about this is you don't have enough talent there for this to be an easy decision.
Correct.
If you had,
like, I know they like Ryan Bates. He's a better guard than he is probably a center.
And realistically speaking, Ryan Bates is probably in the best position he's been in since he's been here, because now he doesn't have to do as much. This has been the most consistent he's played a position since he's been here. He's being the right guard. He's not sitting here just being the center or swapping in and out at center and then center with the twos and stuff like that. He's been with the ones the entire time since Nate Davis has been down. But it does say a lot that we're sitting here going, well, maybe you kind of got to keep Nate Davis. It tells you that Ryan Bates has not been spectacular at that position for you to go, well, yeah, it may, like, I'm fine with you liking a guy. I think that the Bears have done a good job addressing and bringing in a lot of guys that they like that affect the locker room in the right way. But Ryan Bates feels like a backup. Watching him out there, it feels like a backup in a starter's role.
Yeah.
And he's been a backup in his NFL career. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that he looks like a backup now. Yeah,
that's the crux of all of it, that you brought somebody in who they anticipated playing center. We all knew this, leaving free agency. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you have a center competition. Okay, well, the center competition then gets put on pause when your starting right guard goes down, who apparently would remain your starting right guard no matter what. And then now all of a sudden, that's not necessarily the case. Like, they got to get their messaging right because it's...
Shane Waldron definitely said, what was this, a week ago? He was like, there is no right guard competition. Well, as long as, if he's healthy, he's in
and
there.
And the head coach is always going to say, you know, like, everything's up for grabs.
Yeah,
right?
Tyson Bajan is a shot guy.
You know, but it's just, it's... the way that they have spoken about this situation, like, I would be worried right now, because I just feel like this is headed for a repeat of last year, where, you know, right around now, that second or third week of the preseason, when Tevin Jenkins went down and they were forced to move Cody Whitehair around and having to bring Lucas Patrick back in from a backup role to starting center, you don't want to go through that again. That is a killer to a quarterback's ability, a rookie quarterback at that, being able to like get off the ground running. It's not just the quarterback center exchange. It's not just going under center and being in the shotgun and making sure the snap's right. It's the cadence. It's everything. It's knowing the plays. It's what we're going to hear tomorrow or on Saturday. It's loud in Buffalo. They got to practice a silent count. They got to practice the hard count. They got to practice what it's going to be like to communicate on third down. I know it's a preseason game, but you still got to practice those things. And I would be, it's a tense, it feels like this is a very tense situation right now that is kind of coming to a head. And I don't know, maybe Nate Davis will get healthy enough to be able to play at one point this preseason, but if he doesn't, the writing's on the wall. You can't just keep a guy around at a certain point because he's expensive or because you feel like you've got to double down. I mean, hell, like, look at what they're doing with Velus right now. They're giving that guy every last opportunity to perform, as they should.
Are they, though?
He's a third-round pick.
I mean, but, like, we haven't seen Velus on kick return the last couple of days, though. The thing that you thought, oh, that's his spot. And that's, he's going to be fine.
If you don't see him out there on Saturday doing that, then whoa.
Yeah, there's some writing on the wall players.
But they're giving, I just use this example as, and we did find out that they're going to.
They're
going to
play him. Yeah, they're going to play him as some running back reps.
So we'll see. We'll see what he can do with those reps. But they're giving him every single opportunity, because you don't want to, it's a bad look on the front office. If you have to cut a third round pick before his third season in the NFL, they don't want to do that.
But see,
they don't want to do that. Well, with Nate Davis as a free agent coming in, you've spent this money on this guy. It's not working out. At some point, you've got to cut your losses, because that position is a weak link right now with his injury history and the fact that it's causing them to have to move around and not put your quarterback in the best possible situation to succeed. Can Caleb Williams get around a shoddy offensive line? We saw him that at USC. Yeah. We did.
You can develop, and he can be that kind of player.
But you don't want to be in that situation if from a personnel standpoint, you might be forced into cutting your losses.
But see, two things there. I would question two things. One, you don't want to be in that situation. I don't know if the Bears would agree with that right now. They're going to say that. But we're here because of decisions that they made.
Sure.
I believe you go out and you get a quarterback like Caleb Williams because in your mind, you're thinking, maybe he can Joe Burrow this thing. Maybe he can navigate a shoddy offensive line, although Joe Burrow really hasn't been able to do it. Maybe he can navigate a shoddy offensive line because we've actually seen him be able to do that in college.
I get what you're going with that, because of Ja'Marr Chase and you know, the receivers that he had over the first couple of years of his career when the offensive line wasn't great. But it's the decisions that they made. When obviously they just paid DJ Moore. Yeah. They went out and traded for Keenan Allen. They went out and got Rome Odunze. They're prioritizing that over the offensive line. You're spot on about that. But I think you have to do that because they were at such a devoid of talent at that position that they felt, all right, what's the more important thing that we need to address right now? And we can all go back and look and say in hindsight and say, oh, well, they could have gone after this guy in the interior of the offensive line is their weak link. We could have gone after this. They could have gone after that.
You did kind of address it, I guess. Yeah. Karan hasn't been out there.
But they drafted him knowing that he has a quad injury. Exactly. Like that.
You know
was,
what I mean? Like, I guess you tried to address it, maybe a long-term addressing of it versus like right now. But I think like, this is the team that the Bears wanted to feel.
Yes,
I don't think that this is a blind spot, or Ryan Poles doesn't want to look at the offensive line. Now, I think he struggled to bring some guys in at the offensive line. I've got a lot of questions on his four offensive line moves outside of Darnell Wright or Lucas Patrick, Ryan Bates, Coleman Shelton,
Nate Davis. And they drafted Braxton Jones.
So you've got some small wins, but like, I think that this is the team that the Bears wanted to put on the field. And they're just like, hey, Caleb, we saw you navigate this. You might have to deal with this for a season. Mm-hmm. because we're going to have a full slate of draft picks next year that we can go out and add. Or somebody's going to be disgruntled halfway through and we can move some picks and trade some guys. They've got $21 million now with how they've converted DJ Moore's money, right? So there's there's still things they can do, but it's so – Yurko said this, and it's the most accurate way to describe this. Ryan Poles has built this team backwards. He went linebackers before he went defensive line. He went DBs before he went defensive line. He went wide receivers and quarterback before he went offensive line. We've seen teams recently have that success doing that. But it has not worked here in Chicago's history. Justin Fields, poor offensive line. Mitch Trubisky, poor offensive line. Jay Cutler, he died on the left side.
You're not going to be anywhere, though, if you don't have talent at the skill position. And they know that. Yeah. The one thing I have pause about, and like you talk, like all these national shows, they want to talk about the Bears. They're excited. They want to see Caleb Williams play in the
preseason. Nick Wright's got us in the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, everybody's got these insane expectations. They're not factoring in this team's weak link right now. And I get it. It's training camp. Like how, you know, the conversation is Caleb Williams and the stars around him. But when your biggest weakness remains your biggest weakness from a year ago to right now, that's when you get slapped in the face with reality of, oh my God, how did they lose this game? Oh my God, how was this team picked to win 10 games in the regular season, in the preseason, and then they end up going 7-10? Like, you cannot smooth it over. It's just, okay, it's preseason. There's some injuries. They're shuffling around. Like, you've got to start seeing that offensive line make you feel better.
And
the situation that's in front of Caleb.
100%. And here's the other thing too. Maybe Caleb's amazing. Mm-hmm. Maybe Caleb is able to navigate it. We're probably not going to see that until like week 2 or 3.
It's going to take some time.
This game versus Buffalo, Bears fans are going to be concerned after. I would assume. Because
you're not going to see much, but what you do see, there's going to be nitpicking.
You probably got to see a quarter, though, like you said, right? In my opinion.
I really think it would be not good if they only went out there and they're out there for two series or, you know, and I mean, it's preseason. Like, coaches talk to each other about, hey, what do you want? Like, that's what Matt Eberflus and Zach Taylor are going to do.
Yeah.
They're going to come up with a plan for the joint practice and all of that. But I guarantee Sean McDermott and Matt Eberflus have had discussions about how long are you going to play your starters? Like, you know, can you show us some of these looks? Like, they, not saying that preseason is completely scripted, like the joint practices, but there are things that you're trying to, like, it's the one time where you may be like slightly trying to help your opponent out because they're going to help you out on the flip side of that. But a quarter is the only possible solution to get a feel for how does this look? How might this look in the regular season? Because it's inevitably going to look different, but this is your chance to start building that, because you're not going to walk away feeling good about anything. If like, all right, what if they go down and score on the first drive, roll them back out there. I think it would be to a disservice of the first team offense if they don't.
And Flus is literally talking like that. He's literally like, when I heard him today, I was like, watch him like actually score. And he doesn't send him back out there. Like,
I think that's a mistake.
I think that anything, you have a hodgepodge of five guys in front of you right now. And yeah, some of them has played together. Tevin Jenkins, Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, they've got a season together. But you've got two brand new pieces on the interior of your offensive line, and they can't stop false starting. They can't get themselves set. They can't figure out how to you know, not get a delay again, how to get into the huddle, right? Like, these are new things for a young quarterback that Caleb Williams is going through. These are new things that the Bears are installing. Like, I think it is a absolute mistake if you don't. Tom Thayer said this offensive line needs 1,000 snaps with the quarterback. They're probably not going to get there, but you need to get as many of them in as you can.
I agree.
And as much time as you can, like, even if it means throwing them out there for a series in the Chiefs game, even if it's not real and you just want to get, because Caleb doesn't have reps calling plays.
Yeah.
Caleb probably hasn't called a play since high school. Ran a pro style offense in high school.
And so he hasn't been under center since high school. Obviously, like, even just getting the play in your headset, because remember, clock shuts off at 15 seconds. Yeah. So what if they're in a place where the headsets don't work great and, you know, he can't get the play call in? Like, if he's got an audible at the line, which you don't want to put a rookie in that situation like too frequently, unless it's a do or die situation. But like, what's the kill call? Like, what's the, you know, how do you have to flip the protection? Like, all of the things that Caleb's talked about when he said the reps are paramount, you need to start getting those situations. And honestly, I think you'd want to rep a crisis, quote unquote, crisis situation of, okay, headsets go out. how does the quarterback respond to that? Do we have to take a timeout? Do they take and delay a game? Like, you don't want that. But putting him in a situation where he's got to feel the fire there of, all right, something went awry, because things can go awry in games. Like, how do you respond to it?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think the other thing that you said that would be tough in my mind for the Bears to do is talking about cutting, moving on from Nate Davis if things went nuclear in this situation.
Well, he's
right?
back at square one, at square zero, at square, square one, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. You know, for his sake, and I just wanted to say like one thing about this, because I checked in on this the other day. Like, from my understanding, it's not that this guy doesn't want to be here, that like he's, you know, he feels the pressure.
The battle ropes wouldn't let you believe that.
Yeah, though, the battle ropes definitely
watching the battle ropes is just like, I was like, is he doing like double dutch with the clothesline right now?
I'm going to say, I think just be very cognizant of the messaging the next couple of days and week, maybe, of like how people are talking about Nate Davis. From my understanding, and I know a lot of people, you don't believe what you want. Like, he feels he knows what's being said about him out there. He knows that the pressure's on him because, you know, they can't just like afford to be like, all right, well, you're hurt, but you're still our right guard. He's got to get back there.
Yeah.
But if this goes another week and he's still not back, and if he can't participate in joint practices, what? You can't trade the guy. Like, he's going to have no trade value. Yeah. Like, this comes out today. Remember, Matt Eberflus, this setback happened on Sunday.
On Sunday. He's saying week to week today.
Flus could have said that on Monday when he talked.
Yep.
So that's them. That is the front office trying to buy time on the situation with Nate Davis, and at least putting out the pretense to 31 other teams that this guy is healthy enough, or like, oh, he'll be back, it's fine. Like, they had 4 days where the injury stuff was convoluted, and oh, it looks like he's in a ramp up period. Looks like he's okay. He had a setback. So that hurts his value to other teams if the Bears are trying to offload him, which again, like, there's still time for him to get back. We'll see. But just, there's a lot of 3D chess being played right now in terms of everything around the right guard. And anybody's guess right now as to whether he's on the roster week one or not is, you know, it's up in the air.
Can you risk moving on from him when, I mean, your backup right now is what, Shetear Carter? Like, can you risk just saying, we don't need you on the roster? No, like, that's where it gets tough to me.
I agree with that, but
I don't know the mentality. If he's hearing this and he's not, and it's affecting him, I guess, is the mentality strong enough to say, hey, bud, you're a backup?
I mean, he it's not a situation any starter would want to be in.
Yeah.
But, like, if they have to go that route where they're like, hey, this is our best five and he's not one of them, like, what's he going to do, quit? What's he going to do? Seriously, like, what's he going to do?
He could attack the game the way he's attacking those battle ropes. I'm not going to lie. We're reading way too much into that, but it was a bad, I wish y'all could have seen it. It was a bad look for Nate.
It was terrible.
He was like, out there like, meanwhile, who was it? Was it Ian Wheeler was next to him?
No, I think it was Byron Coward.
Was it Byron Coward? Like, just losing his mind,
like,
on him.
Yeah, like, doing a really hard, like, battle ropes are hard, but like, the way that he just looked disinterested today.
Yeah.
And body language is everything. When you're like a player that's rehabbing, trying to get back on the field, you got to look the part as much as you are like acting the part of like going through your rehab and all of that. And you can only read into it so much. We're not in the training room with him. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
But the bottom line here is, and what has been put out by the staff, is he's on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Like, his position is not safe just because he was the starting right guard before he went down.
No, 100%. Another guy that we talked about that I guess I want to go a little more in depth on is the Velus Jones situation.
Sure.
I mean, listen, I get the, like, we're finally going to try him out at running back, maybe a year late, but I get it, right? Like, maybe he's Cordarrelle Patterson. Maybe this works. They take him off a kickoff, at least for the last couple of days, which to me is a major shock because he was a starter, right? He was a starter, so he didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. Why do we need to see him in this new kickoff rule?
And then Flus afterwards says, it's an open competition for kick return.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, I'm confused on that. But it's not like you put him in a running back room that, like, Ian Wheeler and Roschon Johnson are the, like, only two options.
Yeah.
This is DeAndre a loaded Swift. Running back room.
And Khalil
Herbert.
He's
not going to break it.
No,
he's not going to be one of the best three running backs in the next 2 weeks.
Saturday, if you had to ask me, who is this preseason game the most important for? Obviously, you're going to say Caleb Williams, number one, because he's the rookie quarterback. He's got to get these reps. Number two is Velus Jones. Number two, without question, is Velus Jones, because we need to see, is he going to be on kickoff return? Because it's a little weird that he was your starting kickoff returner, getting all the reps up until last Thursday in Canton, and now he's not? What changed?
Not even in the drill.
Like, yeah.
Like, and not then, even a part. Maybe they're just trying to, like, super focus, like, only focus on running back.
And if that's the case, then okay, then that's going to, and if it does work out at running back, because we were told this is going to be this block. So right now through the Buffalo game, then they'll reevaluate, did it work, did it not? Are they going to continue with it, are they not? If they continue with it and you don't see him on kickoff, maybe it's because they feel his plate can only handle what he's being asked to do as a running back.
Yeah.
Which, then you have another open competition for kickoff returner, whether that's Tyler Scott, whether it's John Jackson, trying to find some way onto the roster for certain guys. Special teams, and like, we'll get to see the kickoff again, which will be cool to see how, you know, now that they've had like more time to rep it after the first preseason game.
Yeah.
That's, you know, keep an eye on it, because there's, you know, there's a lot of moving parts right now, and the fact that their kickoff returner was not there last week is not concerning. It's just, it might tell you something about how they feel where he can best fit on this roster. And maybe that opens up a spot for an undrafted guy like John Jackson to get on the roster.
The one thing that I'm really like, I would love to see Velus work out. It seems like anytime he's got the ball in his hands, he's a phenomenal athlete, but they've tried him on both sides of special teams. They took him off of being a gunner. He was doing that for a little while. I think in the second week of training camp, he was kick return one guy. Then we didn't see him get any returns, and now he's not a part of it. Now you've thrown him basically exclusively in there at running back. This doesn't seem like we're trying to just find a way to keep this guy on a roster. This just seems like we really don't know what you can do out here. We're trying to find anything that you can do. Like, don't be surprised if you see him at DB next week just to, like, test something out. Like, that's what this movement feels like, because it's not, hey, you can, why don't you try this and keep the duties that you have? It's like, we're going to take this off your plate, see if you're good at that. And that, to me, leans more in the, we're running out of options.
And remember, he's not a normal third-year player in terms of age.
Yeah.
He's like 27 or 28.
Yeah.
Remember, he was drafted at 25. Yeah, yeah. So he's an older third year player. If I'm just being completely frank about it, front offices don't typically can a third round pick before their third season.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's done anything. Like last year, I mean,
he was fine.
It's fine.
Like, he was fine.
Rookie season was a disaster.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he's got 11 catches throughout his career. He's a gadget guy. Like they're going to try to find every possible way to justify that pick. And I don't fault them for doing it. It's just, okay, hope it works.
Yeah.
Hope it works. Because if not, and it, you know, if you're keeping somebody on a roster spot that like could go to somebody else, they would end up having it go to somebody else. They're not dumb.
Yeah.
Like if there is somebody that like, maybe it's a seventh cornerback, I don't know. Like what Flus was saying about the wide receiver room and how when you have the guys like fourth, fifth, or sixth, whatever it is, like way down the depth chart, you have to try to find more options for that player, specifically when they are your draft pick, your first draft class. Give him more opportunities. You have to exhaust all options.
Yeah.
And they can't in good faith say, all right, we're done with this experiment until they go through this last part of it. Unless they want to, like, again, like, try him at another position.
I don't know. Like I'm literally to the point now where I'm confused on the Velus situation. I thought it was, I'm like, all right, he's a kick returner. It's fine. All he is a kick returner. Fine. Whatever. He's out there. Now it's like, he's not even a kick returner. Or, and I know some people have said this too in the comments. I'd be in the comments. Don't worry about it. You know, well, this is a running back drill kind of on the kick return now. So they're testing him out at running back so that he can get reps, kind of figuring out how to play the running back, and he'll know how to return kickoffs. Not when all the runs that he's getting are to the outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it was just like run between the tackles.
That's wishful thinking right there.
You know what I mean?
But like some of his best plays that we've seen, you know, 11 catches.
Are
like,
to the outside. Yeah.
End around, jet sweeps. Like we saw that in training camp before they decided to experiment with this running back thing. He has the speed to get to the edge, and that's good. Can you use it effectively, and can it help your offense move vertically? Like that's what's got to be the bottom line here.
Less left and right this year would be great.
Yeah. Like, you know, finding a way for him to contribute, just like that's the baseline for this guy. And, you know, some people have leashes that are longer than others. He is one of those players because he's lying. A third round draft pick. But if this doesn't work out, if they don't feel he's an option back there, then you got to cut your losses. Kind of like what, bring it back to the Nate Davis thing. Eventually you have to realize, okay, is this just a net negative that's never going to help us?
Yeah.
Can we move on and feel in good faith that we did everything we could to exhaust all options to make it work? And if the answer is yes, then that's a pretty easy decision.
I think if I could see one thing from Saturday's game, if I could find out that this offense could go forward, that would be just phenomenal. Yeah. And I know that seems something small.
It's not small. That's huge.
It's
a basic concept. I know
it seems like, exactly. That's the basics. Like, you're asking for the basics. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for at this point. Because we haven't seen it. I don't blame
you, because it has not looked good the last couple of days. Now, you'll get rubber meets the road on Saturday in this preseason game when you get a chance to see, are all the excuses that they've given us valid, or was this all overblown? Okay, the offense is okay. Yeah. It looks better. Maybe they throw in some stuff that they have been going in through walkthrough, because most of the practices have been open. We've seen everything they've dialed up. It hasn't looked explosive. You can tell us till you're blue in the face that this is going to be an explosive pass, explosive passing offense right now. Until you see it, I don't think you in good faith can truly believe that.
What Shane Walter said yesterday, he's like, what would you say if we're like, the offense isn't that explosive right now? I'd say Travis Homer. Travis Homer. You
started talking about the running game.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, what? Which I guess I get, right? Because in a real game situation, you're going to use your run game to set up,
of course,
your rookie quarterback. Especially,
but the question was not about that. It was about the passing offense.
It was. Like,
this is the passing offense that sucked last year. That was 27th in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
That is not valid. That is not a valid excuse. Yeah. And now you get a chance this weekend to start seeing, okay, is it all bullshit? Or is it, at some point, are you going to start to see, okay, like, it's actually working?
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully this offense starts to finally get it together. Hopefully just getting a game situation. Sometimes that is what you need. Like, hey, this is real.
And have a play caller in that situation. Shane Waldron's called plays. It's not like this is his first time doing it, but it's just good to get those reps for everybody.
100%. So hopefully we see that work out. Saturday's going to be fun. We got plenty coming to you here on ESPN. It's like 8 hours of coverage, I think, outside of the game. The pre-game show, the pre-game show with Sylvie and Dion. We got the post-game show with Yurko and Peggy. Of course, the post-game show with Pat the Designer, Jeff Meller, and I think Jay Mack will be on there. I have no idea. He's going to be in Buffalo, so he may not show up. Hey, with all that said, ton of coverage coming you guys' way. Stay tapped in with us for Courtney Cronin. It's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Hopefully we get this offense figured out.